This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment, we're going to be talking about family law, but we're focusing on divorced or divorcing parents of young children cooperating, working together to make the holidays happy for their young children. A statistic that I've recently learned about is that, and this apparently is nationwide, 85% of divorces today involve parents of children under the age of five. It's incredible. My guests are California Board of Legal Specialization Family Law Certified Specialist Janet Frankel, who has law offices in San Francisco, B.J. Fathom, with law offices in San Jose, Valerie Runyon-Houghton, who is a marriage and family therapist and also a lawyer. A lot of stress with both of those professions. And finally, in South Dakota, we have National Board of Trial Advocacy Certified Family Law Advocate Linda Levikin, former president of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, and as I said, her offices are in South Dakota. Linda Lee, you still with us? Oh, dear. Linda Lee, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. All right. Ooh, you had me worried, Linda Lee. All right.
No, I'm hard to get rid of. I'm here.
No, yeah, I've heard that. I've heard you're hard to get rid of. Let's do this. What we want to do is talk about things for parents of young children who are obviously either divorced or they're divorcing. The stress is incredible, that is the kind of thing that also adversely affects children. And by the way, I want to let you all know that this segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible, funded, by the way, by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, and also by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. BJ, you and I work very closely in doing these family law programs. Start off with a little brief message to people who may be facing this very difficult time.
And it is a very difficult time. This is kind of the magical time of year, and parents want their children with them, and you know, it's a magical time for the kids. One of the things that we need everybody to know, especially in California, if you do not already have an agreement with the other parent regarding what the holidays will look like with the children or a court order, you're not going to get it now. You'd be surprised how many people will call their lawyer. I get calls. Can't you go in for an emergency? I don't have Christmas planned. I don't have New Year's planned. The courts aren't going to hear it in California right now. There's no way you're going to get in and say it's an emergency just because you didn't plan for the holidays. It's not an emergency.
So what you are saying is that if the children are not going to suffer with parents arguing with each other about whether little Johnny or little Mary is going to be here or there, people have to just kind of take some deep breaths and kind of cooperate and work together. Is that the way it is in South Dakota, Linda Lee, or can someone at this point say, oh, I don't have my plan, can someone get into court there?
Well, yes, we could, but obviously that puts an additional stress on the parents if they have to go in arguing. We hope that by the time that we are reaching Christmas, if they are going through a divorce, that they have already been through mediation or that they have been in a position with their attorney to work out some kind of an agreement with the other side, because otherwise the children get caught in the middle of that stress. And we always tell our clients, you know, they need to be cordial at this time of the year, even if they can't be any other time of the year.
So this is when people who are at each other, unfortunately, have to become very fine actors. Is that right?
Oftentimes, Chuck, this is
Janet. Yeah.
Oftentimes, what happens is people have an agreement. Their timeshare agreement is that they agree to agree on what's going to happen mm-hmm. at the holidays,
yeah.
Or we'll split the holidays by agreement, and that's more common than you might expect. And then when the holidays come, they haven't made a plan and they don't have an agreement. And so they're in the exact same boat as people who have no agreement at all. And so it's important to have, even if you believe that you're going to agree on the holidays, you should have a fallback plan in case you can't actually reach that agreement.
Valerie, let me ask you this. You've spent the last 30 years of your career being a marriage and family therapist, aside from the fact that you're a lawyer. You mentioned before we went on the air that children love ritual.
Yes, they do.
So talk a little bit about that. What should the parents try to do in terms of what the children love?
Children are very concerned about, and of course depending on their ages, but especially when you're dealing with really young children, they're concerned about preserving the things that are meaningful to them, like their special ornament or the special way that they go and visit Santa Claus or go to this special play or go and visit these go to the tea room or go to this special amusement park. So all of those kinds of rituals. And for parents to sit down with their children and ask, okay, so what are the special things that you want for Dad and I to do with you over the course of the holidays would be really helpful. And they have quite a list. They usually would
now,
be...
Now, when you say they, what age group do you... No, I know that. What age level are you talking about?
Even
about the long list?
From as young as 3.
Really?
Oh, yes. They have very, very significant ideas. Sometimes you will get even a very chatty 2-year-old. Very
chatty.
How
wonderful.
Yes, very chatty.
So listen, the idea is parents, listen to your little kid.
Yes, and if you have any doubts about little 2-year-olds being able to tell you about how it is, go on YouTube and type in chatty 2-year-olds.
Oh, my.
And you will see how chatty 2-year-olds can be, and they will tell you all about it. So if you sit down together, I suggest Eric's Deli Cafe, something like that, and say, so Dad and I are talking about what kinds of plans we're going to plan out for our family for the holidays, and we wanted to get some ideas. And after the children get over the shock that their parents are looking, you know, not unhappy, then they often will start talking. And they'll say, even though we're not together as a married couple, we're still your parents and we're still a family. And we're going to keep as many things going for you all as our children as possible. And children say, okay, and they will follow that lead.
So I would say that it's December 16th. It's really kind of last minute to be making these kinds of plans. But we're not here today to instill panic in listeners who haven't yet made plans. There are things that you can do. There are ideas, such as what Valerie is talking about. You know, your children will have ideas, and there are definitely things that you can do. So if you feel that you're stuck, I think in the second half we take calls.
We do.
You can call in, and we'll help you brainstorm right here on the air.
That's right. That's right. And I do encourage you, if you're going through this very difficult time of either having gotten a divorce or in the process of divorcing and you have young children, if you are listening to the program, wherever you may be, if you're listening to it live, and we're doing this on Wednesday, December 16th, in about 22 minutes or so, I will invite you to call in on our toll-free number if you'd like to jot it down, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. What I have found after doing this program for 31 years and having the family law section of the state bar, as well as the Board of Legal Specialization of the state bar as funders for probably 25 years of that time, I have found that people are very reluctant if they're in the process of getting a divorce or they have gotten a divorce and have questions. They're very reluctant to call in for a whole bunch of different reasons. You can use, when you call in, you can use a phony name if you like. But it's important, I think, that if you have a question, if you have something that you would like to share, as either a parent who's gone through this or maybe you as a young person whose parents went through this, maybe you have something to offer. So I encourage you to call in. Linda Lee, you've been a family law advocate, certified advocate through the National Board of Trial Advocacy for a number of years. How long have you been practicing family law?
37 years.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, and you sound so young.
Well, sounds can be deceiving. I'd like to follow up a little
please,
bit, Chuck, on what they were just talking about.
If you would.
A couple of good thoughts for parents. You know, it is important to let the children know the plans, even if you can't be as detailed as sitting down with them as suggested, which is by far the best way. Because the single most determinant of how children will survive a divorce is how their parents deal with each other about the children. So, you know, I encourage you to give them that Christmas gift. But let the children know the plans, and then help them buy a Christmas gift for the other parent, or make cookies for them, something that says to the child, I love you, and I know your other parent loves you, and it's okay. It's okay for you to love the other parent, because that's the best gift you can possibly get them. You know, and let them take the gifts you give them to the other parent's house. I mean, I've had cases where parents give a gift and they refuse to let the child take it to the other house. Well, that becomes more about the parent than the child, and we have to look at that child and their Christmas and what's important to them.
And that's the problem that we run into during this time of year. It is a special time for the children, and the parents have been so entangled in this litigation that they can't see past it, and they forget that the holiday isn't about them and what they want for the kid. It's what are you going to do for the child and to keep it magical. So, for example, like I've had cases that I represent the minor kids, and some of the things that these kids have relayed to me, one parent will say, well, Santa's not going to find you over at Mom or Dad's house.
Ooh.
I mean, these things are actually said, and what they're trying to do is instill in the child, you know, you don't want to go there. And then all of a sudden they can go into court and say, but the child doesn't want to go with the other parent at Christmas. And they believe that it's more of a strategy type of thing when they don't realize what they've just done to that child. They think they're doing a good thing. They think they're, quote unquote, protecting the child. But what they've just done is they've just scared the child. They've ruined their Christmas. Or like Linda Lee was saying, I get them, and I'm sure Janet's had these, where they can't, the other parent says, don't bring that gift. If that came from your father or your mother, don't bring that into this house.
And yet most of the children, I don't meet with the children, I meet with the parents, but the parents report that their children's wish really is that if the parents could just get back together. They want them back together, they want to have the intact family, and I think a nice gift at the holidays that parents can give their children is some time together. If there aren't other concerns, if it isn't a dangerous situation, that would be fulfilling the child's wish to the utmost.
Let me throw this out to the four of you, if I may. And by the way, if you've tuned in a little bit late, never do that again, please. This is Your Legal Rights. We are doing a program on family law, but we're focusing on divorced or divorcing parents of young children cooperating, working together to make the holidays happy for their young children. And so let me just throw a question out to the four of you, please. What difficulty is there if parents are thinking, or from the children's standpoint, here, the parents living here, the other parents living there, maybe there is some sharing of custody of the child. I would hope that would be the case. But what is the difficulty of parents trying to see if they could work out where the child spends on Christmas, let's say Christmas Day, spends a few hours with one parent in that parent's home, and later that day with a few hours with the other parent in the other parent's home? Is that a real difficult situation? What would you say, Valerie, on that?
It really depends on the ages of the children, the temperament of the children, how far apart are the two homes, how well can the parents accommodate that, and will the parents freely allow and encourage the children to bring their gifts with?
Mm-hmm.
And can the parents really pull that off? Mm-hmm. And are there extended family that will support that? Because you're also talking about the tribes.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
So,
yeah.
For example, and I need you to really just suspend your disbelief for a moment. A lot of times I work, most of what I do is work with regular families who are going through this, so they're not court-connected families. So I get people early before they've gotten entrenched in litigation land. And I will ask parents, I need for you to make an agreement, I need you, to make an agreement that you will celebrate Christmas morning together with your young children. You can imagine how happy...
With both parents?
Both parents.
Okay.
You can imagine how happy people are to hear me say that.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
But then I talk to them about all the therapy bills that they're going to be saving themselves down the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, and you only have a brief window of time that you need to be doing this. Mm-hmm. But it will be such a huge gift. And feelings follow behavior, not the other way around.
That's true.
So if you fake it, you will have feelings that shift along with that. And
when you say feelings, whose feelings?
Your own.
Your own
as adults.
Feelings. Okay.
And sometimes people will say, well, I can't possibly do that because if I don't feel it, I've got to be me. I've got to be real. And I say, really? Have you ever worked for someone you thought was an idiot? Did you tell them that you thought that they were an idiot? Well, no. Okay, well.
Too bad.
There you go.
Too bad you haven't.
Yeah.
Linda Lee, how would you handle this?
Well, I think that it does depend, as Valerie's talking about, on the age of the children. I think for younger children, the specialness of Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, particularly because most families have a tradition of one or the other opening gifts, that if you can maintain that, that is the best possible for them. As the children get older, they have less of an interest in jumping back and forth between homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find in those years, we go more towards maybe one Christmas is yours and the next Christmas is theirs, because those children are able to have their Christmas at a different time than the 24th or the 25th of Christmas.
What age group are you talking about?
Well, I think when they hit, you know, Valerie could probably answer this better than I can, but it seems to me when they start hitting into their preteens, it's not
okay.
as significant to them.
Yeah.
The other thing I do want to add, though, because I think it's important, and Valerie touched on it briefly, is that it's also important, very important, that the parents tell their family and extended family members and guests who are going to be present, there will be no talk about divorce.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no talk about the other parent in a derogatory manner.
Yeah.
Because that just ruins the holiday for
sure.
the children.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. Well, and Linda Lee's absolutely right. A perfect example of this is one of the kids that I've been representing for several years, who's now 14 years old, made a comment to me that I really just hate having to change homes on Christmas Day. Now, when they were younger, it was great because, and I think a lot of it has to do with they still believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And so what they need to do is they need to hit on Christmas to get their gifts from wherever Santa has dropped them off. But as Linda Lee had mentioned, the older kids don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. They like having more than one Christmas, and they want to spend more time in one home and then maybe the next year in another.
Mm-hmm.
But then we don't want, if you get these litigious parents that start this bidding war to try and entice the child, oh, I'll take you to Cancun.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to take you to Hawaii, something
oh.
to that effect,
yeah.
because I want you to spend Christmas with me and tell the court, by the way, you don't want to spend Christmas with your mom or your dad because you want to do this instead.
Yeah.
Well, you can...
Yes, Janet, please.
You can always start new traditions too with your children, and thank you, Jack.
Keep going.
You can
come
always
on,
start new on. Traditions with your children.
The mic was moving, and I distracted Janet. Go ahead, Janet.
And that's when you have a new family. Your family is in a different format, and you should be creating a new tradition. And maybe your tradition is to take them to Cancun, but it's going to be also. It doesn't have to happen on Christmas. It can happen later. Well, we'll go to Cancun. Our tradition will be to go to Cancun for New Year's or for the second half of the break.
Mm-hmm.
And if the custodial timeshare is uneven, if it isn't a 50-50 plan, and the reason that it isn't a 50-50 plan is because of school, because one parent is the school parent, then the school breaks are something that can be divided 50-50. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there are other reasons, then you have to take those into consideration. What do the children want to do? Are they going to want to go to Cancun? Are they concerned about where is Santa and where are their presents? What I think people underestimate is the impact of logistics on the holiday planning. And, well, I'm going to have the child spend Christmas morning with Dad and then go to the East Bay for Christmas Day. And what does the child end up doing is spending the holiday in the car.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're on a plane or whatever it is. And,
yes.
And that's not really the best thing for the child.
No. And then the other thing that gets thrown into that is when one or both of the parents have either remarried or have new significant others, and all of a sudden that extended family, for some reason, the parent may think takes priority, but it doesn't. You know, the new significant other's parents have Christmas dinner all of a sudden where that parent didn't prior.
Yes.
It was with, you know, the other parent's extended family.
I think when parents can actually cooperate, it can all work out because it's not brain surgery. It's logistics, and it's making a plan, and it's taking the child's needs into consideration and putting your own feelings about the other parent aside to make it a good holiday experience for your kid. The questions, the situations are complex, but the answers are always not so complex.
Is there something where parents who perhaps are having a difficult time with each other because obviously divorce is a very, very difficult thing, generally speaking. Is there something about if parents start thinking to themselves with respect to the holidays, I'm going to focus on my child and I'm going to focus on what is best for my child. Can that help, Valerie? That kind of thinking that a parent might have, or is this some kind of imagining? My guests are kind of nearly laughing at me, but I'm wondering.
Well, this is one of my favorite topics. When parents engage in this argument, and I'll let them go back and forth over the swim cap for a few minutes, and then I'll sit back and I'll say, well, could I just interject with just something to consider? Because while you all are talking about this, I'm trying to think about some of the problems that are coming down the road. Because if you're thinking about this, I'm thinking about what about when Annabelle Lee is thinking she wants to be in charge of her decisions about going out with Chuck. You know Chuck, the guy that she's fallen madly in love with, who dropped out of high school.
Yeah,
he's now living with his dad.
I know her well. Yes,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, yeah. And you all have been training Annabelle.
Where
Lee.
Is she now? Anyway. Yeah.
Different Chuck.
Exactly.
Different Chuck.
And now
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Right.
And now you all have been training Annabelle to be in charge, large and in charge. And she's thinking, since she's been 4 years old, that she's in charge of the universe. And then you try to tell her, wait a minute, we do not want you getting tattoos and dropping out of school to go live with Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pushing back. And then suddenly she doesn't want to spend the holidays with either one of you. And then they start turning white. But they're both feeling the same thing. Suddenly it becomes possible for them to be on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a spirit that is moved by some magical spirit of empathy, like, well, can I get out of my own way and put myself in my child's position?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's spurred on by a moment of panic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my goodness, what about if Annabelle does run off with Chuck when she's 14?
Ooh.
What are we going to do then? And they look at each other and say, well, wait a minute. Maybe we should reconsider, because what if Annabelle has been so miserable with the holidays, she doesn't want to be with either one of us?
Good point.
I don't think one of the things that you mentioned earlier, Valerie, is that you try to get people to talk about these things and to work on these things before they become entrenched in the litigation world. I don't think it's ever too late.
Me neither.
Yeah, they can be entrenched over their head in litigation, and a light bulb can go off somewhere, or an attorney can help them and say,
"That's invaluable.
You need to stop now and go talk to somebody and try to learn how to cooperate. Oh, well, she'll never cooperate with me. She won't agree. It's daylight."
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you're going to have to try. You're halfway there.
Those are great lawyers.
If you are cooperating, then you're halfway there. right?
Well,
it's true.
And one of the things that I do is, especially when we're talking about the holidays, whether I have the mom or the dad that I'm representing, is I ask them, so first of all, what did you do before? And then I get this all the time, whether it's about the mom or the dad. Well, they were never stepping up to be parent before. I said, well, you know what? You're no longer an intact family, so give that other parent an opportunity. You'd be surprised. They're going to step up now because now they want to.
Delighted for the child that they are.
Absolutely. And don't you want them to do that?
Well, crisis creates those incredible windows, opportunities for tremendous change. You're exactly right. And the great lawyers, and that's part of how I got to know BJ, the great lawyers are the ones that say exactly what you just said, Janet.
Mm. And I send them to Valerie a lot.
Yeah. Well, we all have to try to do the best we can. By the way, if you are listening to the program live, and we are doing this on Wednesday evening, December 16th, in just a couple of minutes, you will be able to, if you have a question, a comment, a concern, something you'd like to share, something you'd like to ask. We have a toll-free number on Your Legal Rights, and it's 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. For those of you who may have tuned in a little bit late, let me just tell you who my guests are at this point. From South Dakota, by phone, we have the National Board of Trial Advocacy Certified Family Law Trial Advocate. That's a long title, Linda Leibiken. And Linda Leibiken is a former president of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. Her offices are in South Dakota. California Board of Legal Specialization Family Law Certified Specialist, Janet L. Frankel and B.J. Fathom. And our marriage and family therapist, as well as lawyer, is Valerie Runyon Houghton. And they are here with me in the studio, and what we want to do is we want to give you an opportunity to call in. All right, everybody, I just gave you the phone number. I want to encourage you to call in to the program if you have a question or comment. And as I said a few minutes ago, my experience of doing this program, and I've now done it for 31 years, with the family law section, the Board of Legal Specialization, being funders of this program each for at least 25 years, I have found that people are very reluctant when it comes to divorce or family law problems to call in. Here's your opportunity to speak with or pose your question to four specialists in the area of family law. And frankly, take advantage of it. Don't wait till the end of the next half hour, because they will then be gone. So again, the toll-free number, if you're listening to the program live, and we are now on the NPR satellite for the full hour. We're on the internet at www.klw.org. This is the number that anyone can use who is listening to this program live, 866-798-8255, which is the toll-free number. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association, that's, by the way, for those of you who may be listening to this program outside of California, San Mateo County is in California. The San Mateo County Bar Association has also a lawyer referral service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. I think for most bar associations, you will be able to get a live person, tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to try to find an attorney who's experienced in the area that you may have the problem with. They'll set you up for a half an hour consultation, and with minor exception, in California. A half an hour consultation will charge you or cost you somewhere between $25 to $35. It's an excellent service. The money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep that going. What's the situation in South Dakota, Linda Lee? What kind of, do you have this kind of lawyer referral service also?
Yes, we do, through our state bar. It's the same kind of situation where they can call in and they will get the name of a lawyer. We do once a year do an Ask a Lawyer program, also online, so that people can call in anonymously and get questions answered in all areas of the law, including family law, which, by the way, is the most frequent callers.
No kidding. That's very interesting. We Linda Lee, and you wouldn't know this, we on this program, Your Legal Rights, and I've been doing it many years in cooperation with the San Francisco Bar Association and the San Mateo County Bar Association and the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month. This year, it'll be the fifth Wednesday, December 30th. We do a Call a Lawyer Night while I'm doing a live program on the air, where people can call in on the topic. And on December 30th of this year, pardon me, on the air will be employment law, discussions of new law for California. But while we're doing that, I will have seven or eight attorneys in the conference room at this public radio station, KALW in San Francisco, who are taking calls off the air with a variety of legal topics. So we do that on a monthly basis, and it's very successful. So let me, for those of you who may have just wandered in to this radio station and this program, we are talking about family law, focusing on divorce, divorcing parents of young children, cooperating, working together to make the holidays happy for their young children. If you do have some questions in other areas other than, let's say, making children happy for the holidays, feel free to call in. My guests are California Board of Legal Specialization Family Law Certified Specialists Janet L. Frankel and B.J. Fathom. Valerie Runyon-Houghton, who's a marriage and family therapist. She's also a lawyer. And from South Dakota, we have certified family law trial advocate from the National Board of Trial Advocacy, Linda Lee Viken, a former president of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. And we have Fred, who leads the way. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hello.
Hi, Fred. You're on the air.
Yeah, that's very nice. Thank you very much for having me, and thanks very much for the discussion.
Of course.
One of the things that kind of befuddles me in the whole parenting relationship divorce role is I've been divorced for 4 years. My ex is lovely. We get along lovely. Our child is lovely. He absolutely is completely and totally clear that we're divorced, and he's yet absolutely and totally clear that he's loved. There's no question in my mind. And what I don't understand with parents, where I get totally confused in the action of divorce, is if you've made these fantastic commitments, and the major commitment that you said was, is I will honor you till death do us part. And I totally get that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stay married, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship is going to work out. It just means that you're going to honor this person till death do you part. And then you go beyond that level, and you can make this commitment with each other to have a child. You have the child. You don't wind up being successful at the marriage. But now you're going to somehow have some sort of defense to not honoring both those commitments, the much larger one, of course, having the child, mm-hmm. the other one to honor each other till death do us part. It seems like an easy equation, especially at a time like Christmas and all that, where your adult behaviors allow you and your adult mindset allows you to just put everything else aside and say, wow, this is exactly how we handle it. We handle it with respect and love.
This is very good. Let me get some comments for you, Fred. That's very nice. Thank you very much. You're not a therapist yourself, are you?
No.
Sounds like you've got a lot of good thoughts on your mind. But take the comments of my guests off the air if you put your radio back on. Thanks so much.
And have a good evening.
Very nice having you call. Linda Lee, what comments do you have for Fred?
I say congratulations and thank you for being such a good parent.
Boy, I'll say.
Because the reality is that's the goal that we have for all of the parents, is to put aside, if there is acrimony, there obviously was not so much in his case, but again, to focus on the bigger picture, because your attitude and the way you handle that relationship with the other parent, just as he talks about, is going to affect how that child reacts, how that child feels, and how that child becomes successful as they grow older.
And if we can only get parents to see the difference of what's going to happen with that child, the difference of Fred's child, where they have been working together to continue to raise a child, whereas a child that's been raised in a very high conflict situation where the parents are just struggling with them, when you see those two kids when they hit to be about a teenager, there's going to be a huge difference between the two. And some of the things I get from the minors that I work with is the parents can create a situation where the kids start to hate the holidays because all they think about is, oh, here we go again. I don't even want Christmas anymore. And
that
is the saddest thing that I have ever heard when I hear the kids say that.
Yeah, that's a real shame. Well, you know, what I want to do at this point is I want to encourage the women out there to call. Our next caller is going to be Benjamin. But I'd like to see some of you women who may be facing a very difficult time join us with your questions, your comments. Our number again, toll-free, 866-798-8255. Benjamin, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. My name is Ben. I'm male, sorry.
I know you are.
Mine is more of a comment than a question.
Go ahead.
I went through a divorce around 10 or 15 years ago. And, it hit me by surprise. I wasn't prepared for it, so I didn't really get a good lawyer. I tried to not get one, and I finally dragged my feet and got the cheapest one I could. And that's probably the greatest regret of my life, because as a result, you know, she won everything. She won custody of the child. I don't see my daughter anymore. And I know that sometimes you get flack from people for suggesting they see a lawyer when they don't want to. All I'd have to say is it's really worth it. It is. I should have gotten for the expensive one. I recently helped somebody who went through a divorce himself, and he said, hey, you know, Ben, what do I do about this? I'll show you this paper. Well, the paper showed that the case had already been in. He'd already been divorced. And he asked me, what can I do now? Can I see a lawyer? And I sadly had to tell him, no, it's kind of too late. Mm. You know, people should really think about this. It's worth it.
Benjamin, thank you very much for your comments, because I think that's good. But when I urge people to go to lawyer referral or whatever, it is to educate themselves as to what the pluses and the minuses may be. I'm not trying to...
Yeah.
I've been a lawyer for 50 years. I've been a deputy DA. I'm now a volunteer deputy DA, San Mateo County. I'm going into my 31st year of that also. And what I try to do, I'm a consumer advocate. What I try to do, and the reason I started this program 31 years ago, which is exclusively funded by the State Bar of California, was to educate people about the law, to help them prevent problems, or if there was a problem, to help them to try to get through it. So thank you for your comments. Let me get some.
Sometimes the outcomes are not obvious.
You need to
talk to one.
No, no,
it's
they're not.
Like working with an engineering thing, yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you to turn your radio back up and let me get some comments.
Yeah.
Let me get some comments. One of the things that I'd like the four of you to talk about, frankly, I am very much pro-mediation, because I think, and mediation in California is becoming, as I understand it, more and more expansive in terms of many areas, including family law. And I think that if people can start thinking about mediating problems as opposed to, I want to really get back at that person, it's not going to make any good. How do you deal with something like what Benjamin is talking about, Linda Lee?
Well, you know, I think the point that he makes is a good one, and I would agree with you and disagree with you in part, Chuck, and that is that one of the things that I encourage people to do is, first of all, to find a lawyer, a family lawyer, who is a family lawyer,
mm-hmm.
not someone who does one or two a year, because family law is a very complex area of the law, and good lawyers, family lawyers, can, in a short period of time, help a person. I encourage people that, you know, pay for a consult with a family attorney. If you don't want to hire an attorney yet, fine. Go in and find out what your rights are. Find out what your options are. In South Dakota, we do require mediation for any case involving children. and it's mediation without the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
So the parents can go in and not be able to talk about a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a property or support, but only about their children. And good mediators can get parents to focus on that. You know, parents have to remember that if they don't agree, a stranger is going to decide, a stranger who does not know their children. So it really...
You're talking about the judge. You're talking about the judge.
I'm talking about the judge.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Doesn't know their children and doesn't love their children.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And is overwhelmed probably with all the other cases that the judge may have in his or her courtroom.
Absolutely. So it's really important. I think mediation is wonderful on custody and parenting times because good mediators can focus people on talking about just that and nothing else.
I would like to respond
please.
To one thing Benjamin said, which is, you know, spending money on an expensive lawyer, not spending money on an expensive lawyer was the biggest mistake that he made. But I don't think that's exactly correct. What he didn't do is he didn't find a good lawyer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be an expensive lawyer. And just because your lawyer has a high price tag, a high hourly rate, or a big retainer demand doesn't make that a good lawyer. You have to meet with the person and decide whether this person is going to give you the advice that you need. And that's what consultations are for, is to make that determination. And on the issue of mediation, I fully agree. I think the first thing that you should ask any divorcing couple is whether they want mediation. If someone calls my office, that's the first question. Do they want to have mediation, in which case I will meet with both of them as a mediator, as opposed to representing just one side, or send them to someone else. But that's the first question, because especially if there are children involved, I've found that even if the parents are extremely vigilant and never breathe a word of what's going on in court to the children, they know.
Of course they do.
They know everything.
Of course
they know it all. They know what's going on.
Yeah. By the way, I want to mention for those of you in California, and then I'm going to get to Linda Lee and ask her about this also. I'm a great believer in terms of one needing a lawyer. I think it's very helpful, and that's why I do promote the lawyer referral service, to get an initial half-hour consultation with someone that starts to get you thinking about what your rights, what your obligations, what your problems may be. But if you're in a situation like family law or any one of the other 11 specialties that the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar has, I think it makes sense to look into getting a certified specialist. And for those of you in California, let me give you the phone number, for the statewide phone number for the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, so that you can find out in your geographic area who the certified specialist may be. That's 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100. Or you can go to the internet, and that is www.calbar.ca.gov, calbar.ca.gov, and go to the left upper portion of your screen for legal specialist. Click that on, and then you'll put in the county in which you are in and the specialty that you're looking for, and that will tell you who the specialists are. How do you deal with this with respect to South Dakota, Linda Lee? And the National Board of Trial Advocacy obviously has several specialties. And what recommendation do you have for people, at least in South Dakota or perhaps nationally, as far as the National Board of Trial Advocacy is concerned?
Well, in a state like South Dakota, we do not have the specialization certification like they do in California.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true of many smaller states. And so you can look for a specialization certification by a nationally recognized organization like the National Board of Trial Advocacy. That's one of the reasons that I sought that designation, is because I can now advertise in South Dakota as a specialist because it's recognized by the American Bar Association. So it's important, just like you would look for a doctor and the credentials that they have, in family law you should look for the kinds of credentials such as the National Board of Trial Advocacy, because then you know that they have met certain criteria for qualification, just as the American Academy of Matrimonial lawyers also have to meet certain kinds of qualifications, certifications to have that designation. So it is important because, unfortunately, family law is one of the areas where most lawyers think they can do it. And they can, badly, but they can do it.
No, I certainly agree with you. The website for the National Board of Trial Advocacy is www.nbtalawyers.org, www.nbtalawyers.org. And I want to encourage we are going to have a woman on the air in just a moment. I want to encourage all of you who may have a question, a comment, a concern that you would like to share. If you're listening to the program live on December 16th, the toll-free number 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Elizabeth, very nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. How are you this evening?
Well, we're doing so good. How are you?
very good. I just want to thank you for providing this really valuable, very valuable information, because I think families suffer so much.
No question.
Yeah, and I'm a grandmother, and I have, my main question is concerning very, very young, very new situation. I have a 20-month-old granddaughter, and her parents are going through a very a vigorous legal battle for custody. They actually were never married, although they were together for 7 years.
Really?
And it was a very shocking situation for my daughter. The father left when the baby was only 5 months old to move in with another lady. And she has a 6-year-old.
So, the other woman has a 6-year-old?
Correct.
I see.
And
okay.
This is a very vigorous legal situation. And, you know, my insight is that the children get left in the dust.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a certain self-absorption that's occurring because, you know, it's a very, very tough situation very early, and I would love to see the best possible outcome for my granddaughter. She's already a chatty 21-month-old.
Mm.
Right.
So, you know, we're giving her the very best we can. It's just the situation has pretty much exploded, and I actually encouraged both parents and the significant other of the father to listen to your program, because we need the advice of people who
I think so.
Are really experienced.
I think so.
So I'm going to just sit back and listen.
Yeah. Okay, Elizabeth. Thank you very much. Is this litigation going on between the two parents? Is that in San Francisco County?
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually at Oakland.
Oakland,
correct.
So it's Alameda County. Well,
yeah,
Elizabeth, right. Thank you very much. Let me get some comments for you. Turn your radio back up, if you would.
Thank you again.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you for calling. Our toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Who would like to start? BJ, please.
Well, one of the things that Elizabeth mentioned, and actually Benjamin touched on it too, when we talk about lawyers, one of the things that family law, and Linda Lee mentioned this too, Linda, the family law is the one area of law for attorneys that is so different. And when people come to me and say, well, how many cases have you won? There is no winning in family law. I'm sorry. And
everybody loses.
Exactly. I mean, and the child is the
emotionally,
biggest loser.
Emotionally, it's terrible.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
And Janet and Valerie both know there are attorneys that will say, well, I'm going to win this. Mm. I'm going to win this case. Mm. And unfortunately, in this area of the law, I'm sorry, but my opinion is no. I'm not. I haven't won any case.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 30 years, and I haven't won one family law case, and nobody else has either. And the children have continued to lose. I even have in my fee agreement that I refuse to continue to represent somebody that proffers a position that's not in the child's best interest.
Ah.
And Valerie's seen me trigger it.
Good
before
for you.
Because it's already bad. You talk about the child is suffering. The child is suffering already, and are they going to suffer more?
You know, in my career, I have been a lawyer for 50 years. Before I moved from Los Angeles, I was brought up in Hollywood. I was a Hollywood kid and went to Loyola Law School. In my early career, I had two family law cases, somewhat litigated, not as vicious as some can be, and I frankly feel that being a family lawyer is probably nearly the most difficult of legal professions one can have, mm-hmm. even including very serious criminal prosecution as a deputy district attorney. That's my thought. And any further comments for Elizabeth?
I would have something, Chuck, if I may.
Yeah, oh, if you would, Lena Lee, go ahead.
I just want to encourage her to be the safe harbor for the children.
Mm.
When parents are going through high conflict like that, it's really wonderful if the children can have one place where they're not torn between people.
Yeah.
So I really encourage her as a grandmother to be that safe harbor. Try not to take sides, even though it's hard to do sometimes when it involves your own children. But if you can just be that safe place for the children, that will really help them through that difficult time. And that's the best gift she can give them.
That's a very good thought. Any further comments? Yes, Janet, please.
I was going to say good for you, Elizabeth, that you are seeing this so clearly and that you're able to at least help your daughter, if not the father of your grandchild. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling, Elizabeth. All right, let's take another. Are we ready for another call? And we have another woman. Katie, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'm actually kind of on from a different perspective on this. My parents have been dealing with, I guess, marital issues for most of my childhood, and are off and on getting a divorce, not getting a divorce. And so that's kind of where we are right now. I graduated from college last year and lived with my parents last year when I went home to just kind of spend some time with them.
Katie, do you have a question you'd like to pose to my guests?
I do. I'm just trying to. Sorry.
I'm getting concerned about the time running out. That's why.
Okay. I have a younger brother who's 20 years old, so he's not really a child, but mm-hmm. he doesn't know about the situation, and I think he's going to find out pretty soon. And I'm wondering if you guys have any advice in terms of supporting a younger sibling going through this kind of situation.
Janet is looking that she's not quite understanding. Do you have a question for Katie, Janet?
Yeah, Katie, are you saying that your parents are now going through a divorce and your brother doesn't know?
I've asked my mom multiple times, and I don't think she's told him yet. I think she's planning on telling him when she sees him in person, but he's also at college, so she wanted to tell him over the phone.
Are they living together? Your parents still?
My parents are still living together.
Uh-huh. And how long have they been married, Katie?
20 plus years.
20 what?
20 plus years.
20 plus. And how old are you?
I'm 23.
Are you? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, let me get some comments for you. How about you, Valerie? Do you have some comments for her?
Katie, you don't have to answer this, but let me ask you a question. When did you first start wondering if your parents should get a divorce?
I was in elementary school.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a part of you that wanted to walk up to him and say, why don't you just get this over with?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Many, many times.
Okay. Have you ever wondered if maybe your brother has had some of those same thoughts?
Definitely. We've had conversations in terms of, like, our parents' relationship, especially as we got older.
Yeah.
Because I wanted him to know that they didn't have necessarily the best relationship.
Yeah.
But he hasn't heard it from my parents' mouths necessarily. I think he knows that it's not all peaches and cream.
Yeah.
Katie, would you do this because we're nearly out of time? Would you take the balance of my guest comments on your radio, if you would? Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
I wish you, under these circumstances, the best holiday season that you might have, which is probably going to be difficult. What other comments do you have?
One of the comments that I have that I'm so glad Katie called in because
I time,
this
too.
This is a perfect example, and I get some of the clients that come in, and they've been battling. They don't have a healthy relationship with the other parent, but they're saying, well, I should stay together for the children. And my question to them is, so is this the model of a marriage relationship that you want your child to enter into? So is this kind of the
Good
same
point.
Thing?
Yeah.
And that's when a light bulb goes on. They go, well, no. I said, you want your kid in a happy, healthy relationship, right? Then why are you not modeling that? And Valerie can respond more to this, but you could, you know, it used to be the old saying, my dad used to always say to me, do as I say, not as I do. But I think it's really the opposite. Kids will model what they actually see and witness of what their parents are doing.
Yeah. Well, the other part, and my heart goes out to you, Katie, is parents don't understand what it's like for children to live their childhood holding their breath. Because what they're seeing is, I can't ask questions. Let's all pretend. Everything is fine. And don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult, really, really difficult. And what it does is it really impairs their own development as people. So short answer is it's easier on kids if parents will divorce early.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's people believe that it's the opposite. But it actually is easier on children if you divorce earlier when the children are younger.
Linda Lee. We have about half a minute. What comment?
All I want to say is this, and it doesn't necessarily relate to her comments, but it's really, really important to have an agreement with the other parent in writing as to what you're going to do in holidays. I always say I have everything very specific, dates, times, everything, not just a simple we'll agree, because the fact of the matter is things change over life. You get a new girlfriend, a boyfriend, a new spouse, so please, parents, have a very specific written agreement and then have a clause like I have in mind that says you can do anything different as long as you agree, and then you won't have so many fights over these holidays.
Well, I wish everybody that kind of approach to doing this. I want to thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you
all on.
National Board of Trial Advocacy Certified Family Law Trial Advocate Linda Lee Viken, a former president of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, calling in from South Dakota. Valerie Runyon-Houghton, family and marriage therapist and lawyer in San Jose. California Board of Legal Specialization Family Law Certified Specialists B.J. Fathom and Janet L. Frankel. Janet's in San Francisco. B.J. is in San Jose. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Chuck.
Great to have you on the program. Next week, next time on this program, we're going to do an update of workers' compensation laws and issues. My guests will be California Applicant Attorneys Association members Alice O'Sullivan and Jason Marcus. They're also specialists in workers' compensation laws certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. And I want to thank my group who has been with me, program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McClain. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program, the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and that's about it. So I thank you all for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio, and I hope you join us next time, and I hope you are going to have a happy holiday season, whatever you're doing. Think hard on that, everybody. I'm Chuck Finney.